Blog Talk Radio.
He's not me. Yes, I am. I'm much taller. No, you're not. You're fatter, though. No, I'm not. We're the same. We're not the same at all. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are.
I'm greater than, lesser than, and equal to the universe. You know, I'm greater than it because I contain it in my mind, and lesser than it because that's obvious, schmuck. And I'm equal to it because I'm of the same atoms it is. And I always say that what that does for me is connect me to everything and make me a part of it. I earnestly believe that it is all one spirit, all one energy, all one beat, and there are just these different manifestations of it. Because of that, I feel very safe in the universe. I feel very comfortable and very at home because it is only me. And hey, it's only me. Remember that? Hey, it's okay. It's only me. Well, that's what the universe says to me. Not that this shit can scare me, because, hey, oh, it's only me. No fucking problem.
So everything that exists is everything that exists. I am everything that exists. So are you. The more you realize that, the more you open up to the full infinity of who you are.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men. Machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
That is the problem. That's the crisis. It's not political crisis, economic crisis, or the crisis of war. But the crisis is in ourselves.
The way out of this is the ultimate revolution. It's to be who we are and not what someone else tells us we should be.
Christ, Buddhas, Krishnas, Muhammads, Wovokas, you are all the same as them. Every single one of them said that to all of you. He did not mean follow him in a religious context. He meant be the way I am.
No, you listen to me.
Because you are.
Listen to me.
That way.
Go to yourself. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
We have created this society. So we are responsible for that society. But is it possible not to change society? But is it possible to radically, deeply transform our conditioning, our consciousness, which is what we are? Is it possible?
Right, freedomizers. Nikki Nick with you. Hey, I've actually got a connection. So what I'm seeing now is that anybody in the chat room can tell me that either during now or it just totally up and I really can't get forward. But no matter what, I'm hoping I've got a few more bars than what I'm used to. And I'm hoping you can hear me. Whoa! It would be choppy. Of course it would. Thanks, Sleepy. That's fast. Okay, cool. No matter what, I plan on moving forward today. This is the first time in a long time I've had a good connection to move forward. So, that sucks. You can't tell me that. I was even just talking to Swami on Skype, and it'll work. But Skype and BTR, for some reason now, don't work. It sucks. I'm super, super excited to be on Skype, and it's not even work for me. That sucks. That seriously sucks, and it bothers me. That sucks. Oh, phone. They're about to need a phone. So upsetting. Alright, well, the best I can do at this point then is play a rebroadcast, which I can do, and I do. I've only had issues, Sleepy, sorry. I've only had issues since I moved. I didn't have these issues before because that's all I use with Skype. A little better. Watch. I wish it goes from 3 bars to 4, and you can hear me when I do 4. Should I keep trying? Or should I play a rebroadcast? Pretty much. Did I try what I can? If it gets really, really bad, people let me know, and I'll just put something else on. It seems to be trying right now. So sad. Hey, I love you. Quick thing. And we can try one time. See how it goes. If it works out, maybe the connection levels out. We'll join. If not, I'll play the broadcast. So I'm going to play a quick song, and then maybe the connection gets stronger, which I hope. You're such an activist. Look at you. Always forward thinking and doing better than anybody else, but Sleepy's the one with the answers. Can't get enough of it. It's beautiful. So, you know what? I'm going to play F the Fed. Just to know F the Fed. So we'll get back in there. Silver-backed in all its splendor, it's unfortunate he ended up dead. Ha ha ha. I always forget the fact that I have mute on both Skype and on the other one. It has been a while for me, so you have to excuse me again. It's been about a month, really, since I've been able to do my show. So I'm trying. And, yes, I did forget the fact that not only does the switchboard or now the studio have mute, but so does my Skype. So give me a minute. I'm working on it. It's always such an interesting idea. Hang in there. What are you? Well, I'm not even sure where to start here. We have other things to do. Hopefully people can hear me. I'm so excited my aunt's here. Swami's here. Of course, Sleepy's here. Namaste to all that are listening. I'm in such a great mood. I'm on air for once, and hopefully it'll work today. I still, like, if anything else, if all else fails, or if at least you can hear me, plan on doing some ancient texts, or at least some background on some of those other stories. Hopefully more time. Yay, that's good. I actually switched browsers for the studio. Okay. Well, Sleepy, I know you've heard, like, Dan, when he does his, as bad as Dan does his, because his cuts out, like, every 2 or 3 years. What I'm probably doing now. My connection's still not as good as it could be. We'll see what happens. If it's too bad, people just let me know. Sort of broadcast on, that's not a problem. I have a few, so... what I'm going to get into, I guess, so we can have fun today. I'm into just the basics of the Anunnaki. We can do some more serious stuff as well. Sleepy's with us in the... Here. Oh, see, it's been a while. In the switchboard, it has been quite a while. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Sleepy in, at least let him say hi, because, you know, we all love Sleepy. So, hey, Sleepy.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, Nikki. I appreciate it.
Always. How are you? It's been a while since we talked.
I've actually been so up to my neck in research and just getting evidence together on all sorts of subjects. I've been literally up to my neck in it.
Cool. Well, hey, we actually have another caller, too. It's all ones. Oh, okay. That's the great Swami. So let me bring in Swami. Hey, Swami, how are you?
Namaste all. I welcome you with great love and great respect. Oh, you're still breaking up. I was hoping I'd be able to hear it better on the Skype thing, maybe.
And it doesn't help.
Well, your connection, your signal from your microphone is the issue, I guess.
Yeah, Swami's coming in through perfectly, actually.
That's what's good, because Swami and I spoke right before the show. We did this. I spoke to him just on purpose to be sure it would work. I don't get it. I don't know what else I can do right now. I really, I don't know what else to do. I can talk to Swami. I can talk to, well, pretty much I can talk to Swami.
Well, I suppose if you gotta talk to somebody, that's a... Better than some, I guess. Well, I mean, imagine if it was only your bill collectors.
Oh,
how much would that suck?
Beyond words. That would suck beyond words. Luckily, I don't have too many bill collectors knocking down my door, so... At least I'm
You know what we could do here, Nikki, is... if your aunt is on Skype, we can just fold her and Sleepy into the Skype connection.
Here's one thing: Sleepy is here,
but you're still cracking up to me. I'm hearing you break up where earlier there was not one hiccup in the connection. None. It's totally groovy smooth.
It has to do with BDR and Skype. It's the connection between the two. With my not perfect connection now. But there is something I can try. Sleepy, you're on Skype. Did you try and, conference me into a call? Because I can disconnect from host, and then maybe I can work if I'm connected to you.
So are you saying you want me to, host a conference call on Skype? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying can you conference add me to your call?
Yeah, I could definitely do that if you want to try that.
Yeah,
do that! Come on! It'll fix it!
Okay, hang up this call. Let me play a quick song. Let me play something that's really, really short. And then if you wouldn't mind trying, it's at least something.
Sure, yeah. I'll give it a try, Nikki. No problem.
Okay. Let me find a quick song. Let's play a more tuba by Raja. So, hold on.
Can't stop, won't stop, puff it on the isms. Legalize it, or there's gonna be some schism. Get more stones, twist another bone. More cheaper, 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 more cheaper, cheaper. The rhyme buster non-stop, cut the underground stunner. Five touch blunt, a quarter spot, run a chalice burner. Get your blurry in a hurry, if you're worried, I'll corrupt your sense of me and protect the soul of our country. I'm a fierce esoteric, I shot the sheriff. I got a lot of connections, so they let me out on merit. I eliminate my competition, leave my critical condition with no more recognition. The job is done without permission, without tradition, and totally efficient. I use my intuition, my bad disposition. Take the one, I'm so horrific. Getting stronger by the minute, banana splits is the mission. Can't stop, won't stop, puffing on the isms. Legalize it, or there's gonna be some schism. Get more stones, twist another bone. More cheaper, 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 more cheaper, cheaper. Can't stop, won't stop, puffing on the isms. Legalize it, or there's gonna be some schism. Get more stones, twist another bone. More cheaper, 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 more cheaper, cheaper. It started as a stick up in the end, they killed the bishop. Mystery motherfuckers filled me everything they lit up. The ladies on the floor, Spang was crying that she Christian. She gave them all the money, but still, they threw the clip up. Detectives in my crib trying to dig it. I'm straight, I do my own thing, I'm not down for questioning. Stop your pestering, start respecting me. You don't oppress me, inspect the technique.
Okay, now let's see. I'm with Sleepy here. So let me know if anybody can hear me better this time.
You are better.
Can you hear me
already,
better, Sleepy? Yeah, really?
Well, for a sentence, it was good. I just heard a waffle right there, but it didn't cut out completely.
Well, Sleepy, you talk. Say something and see if they can hear you now.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, and it's very exciting to be here.
So no problem with him, huh?
Yeah, it's all BS, but we can hear it, yeah.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Nice.
Lightening the mood.
Thank you, Sleepy. Well, hopefully this will work just maybe a little bit better. We'll do the show with no host called in. I don't know what else to do. So you can still hear me, or do I break up even through Sleepy?
I'm hearing you just fine now myself. I don't know about the folks in the chat room, but I'm connected to the BTR, so.
Yeah, baby. Okay, baby. After my show is over. Hey, it's 2:22. Perfect timing. So, this is awesome. It's actually going to work this way. I cannot believe that Skype will not let me do my own show by myself. But, hey, through someone else, it seems to work. So, very, very awesome. It is Friday. It's a beautiful day. It's hot as hell where I am. 108 for a high today. So, Sleepy, apparently it's probably a little bit cooler where you are. Probably even a little bit cooler where Swami is.
Yeah, 85 here.
85? Really?
Yeah, cold front.
Wow, I'm jealous.
Yeah, me too. It's pretty much you can fry an egg on the side of the sidewalk.
Well, my aunt's actually right out of Austin as well. So I know her temperature's pretty much the same as both of us. But man, I have been noticing, and I know I was talking actually with Bruce Kettler today and yesterday about this, which if I can get him to come, I'll see if I can get him to come on air with us. But Max Egan was even speaking of this. But the whole idea that we all feel the changes, which have been pretty much consistent across the globe since the beginning of the year. And I literally say from January 1st of this year, 1-1-1-1, whatever, all ones. There's been some serious changes, the vibration of the earth, the waking up of people that are around us has been such an accelerated rate since the beginning of this year. And I think that the vibration of the earth that has increased and the vibration that's increased around the solar system and our perception of what we consider the universe has been such a greatly intensified that at this point, how can most ignore it? And you see it waking up almost across the board, literally like accelerated, especially as this year starts coming closer and closer to an end. I see more and more people becoming aware of what's around them. Sleepy, Swami, your take on this, seriously, have you noticed as well? Do you see any major changes taking place? And we had, what, the Egyptian Revolution, well, so-called revolution. We've had revolutions take place past that across most of European and Asian countries. Of course, it hasn't necessarily flowed over to the U.S. We're kind of lazy people that are very much stuck in their instant gratification world. But Swami, have you noticed anything seriously?
Oh yeah, it's okay. If you just start from, let's say, there's a baseline where matter vibrates at a certain frequency, that is increasing. So everything is affected by that in one way or another. Some in obvious ways, some in the most subtle of ways. But everything is I mean, I feel very, very strongly. And lots of people are just waking up, you know? I mean, there's no way that it's going to be turned down by any force at all. All forces arise from this. Everything arises from this, and it is increasing. So regardless what we decide to call it or how we interact with it, it is a fact. It is happening. We are watching the collapse of the systems of control, the more they try, the more exposed they become. But I believe there are also those who are, as an effect of this change, who are also going further in a dark direction too. I think that is possible.
So basically people are going
because
in a direction you're meant to go.
What's that? The direction for what?
Sorry, people are meant to, they have been going in the direction they are meant to go, basically, at this point. When you have a pulling in one direction, that pulling has become so strong, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Yes.
So for those that are waking up in one way, they're waking up in that way. And for those that may be waking up in another that are different from us waking up in this way, it may seem dark for them, but for them, they're still waking up in their own reality. So...
Mm-hmm. I think, well, only I say this based on not so much intuitive understanding, just observation of some of the things that are occurring. So I wouldn't bet any money on this, on the negative aspect of it. But it makes some sense when you overlay that on some of the stuff we hear about in the news that is just, you know, mothers eating their children. You know, just, I mean, insanely inhuman activities. This comes from somewhere. It's happening because of something, you know. But there's nothing we can do about those that are digging in deeper into their own darkness and ignorance. So we help those that are out looking. The communities will come together. It can't be stopped. You know, that's the natural way that humans function. And the communities will simply arise. I mean, now, you know, dangerous, ugly people have a lot of control over some things, and they're going to continue to do dangerous, ugly things. But they're falling apart. You know, I wouldn't be too surprised if they're not very soon trying to make deals to protect themselves. You know, because it's just coming apart. It can't continue.
Well, and hey, since Sleepy's here, Sleepy, have you noticed a major change in people waking up to the world around them?
While that is a fair question, I have to admit that I'm probably one of the worst people to ask about that because I don't really deal with the mainline public anymore for the most part. I deal pretty much with the people that we've got already and focusing on internal issues as well as what's going to be done to secure our liberties. What I can say initially is that just from random contacts with the mainline public, there is a certain kind of openness, I guess, on a limited level. But, you know, let me just give you a quick example. If I say, oh, so you understand, you know, fractional reserve lending or false flag ops, from what I've noticed, no. But then again, it's a random sample. Maybe that's random bias and all that. But what I can say is that there's a certain kind of openness somewhat, but it's still very much beneath the surface. And we still very much are dealing with status on one level of things. So that's kind of just something I've noticed. But what I am really familiar with, is more the internal issues.
No, that's awesome, especially when it comes to governmental issues, because the simple fact is that we tend to ignore the fact that we are the government. People are made up of those that are, quote unquote, in control. So any changes that are felt here should domino basically to those that are affected by it. And from my point of view, would work maybe not as quickly, but should within time affect those that are in control. I need to take a quick break. I know it took us a while to get things up and running, and I do apologize for anybody listening in that regard. But we've reached the half hour. And, of course, without me taking a break at the beginning, yeah, everybody knows how that goes. Hey, P1C says hi, by the way, Swami.
I saw that.
Come on, nice. Everybody's here today. That's great. We may not have many guests, which is fine with me, actually. And I know it has been so long since I've been live on air. So
more will come.
Sleepy, thank you so much. I know. Sleepy, thank you so much for doing this for me today. Swami G. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I love that. We're going to take a quick break, and Freedomizers, we'll be right back with you. We have Swami Shiva with us and Sleepy Salsa. So, and of course, Nikki Nix. as we rise above dehumanization, and we'll be right back with you. Hang in there.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits, and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Freedomizer Radio. Waking people up. They have their little puppets and underlings and cliques, and pretty much every government on this planet will do their bidding as they push us into this one world system. That's how it works. Somebody needs to carve that thing up, and I think I might just be the man for the job. Be the man for the job. Job. Waking people up. Just a tinfoil. Waking people up. I got to break down the information. Waking up. Every time I get to have this conversation, it, you know, it sends them a little deeper down the rabbit hole. Deeper down the rabbit hole. Look a little deeper. A little deeper. Freedomizer Radio. Waking. Freedomizer Radio. Waking people up.
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool!
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow!
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours! You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red.
I want to be blue. Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed. But don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
They are going to release a bioweapon that is going to kill almost everybody. Now I'm going to explain something to you. This is guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Mentality has done a 180 degree flip. I think you like to get tied up and lashed with a whip. Strung upside down, a jack for your shit. Covered in feces with thumbtacks in your lip. That's what you get when you fuck with the king. Making the wrong move will get you stuck in the bing. God bless America's a song you should sing. You're dealing with child molesters in the pedophile ring. Everything's under heavy control, from your puppet president to your petty patrol. When they protect the infrastructure, they'll be ready to roll. Fuck a mortgage foreclosure, they will lever your soul. Communication giants are spying on you from Venus, and you think it's coincidental they own all the arenas. To know the outcome, it doesn't require genius. Verizon wireless services are interlinked with FEMA's. On my side in the end, my friend. What do you got? Probably mercury free flu shots. You ain't touching this without oven mitts. It is too hot. You have blown up in the patriot community, and it seems you've shown up with immunity at the gun rally in Austin. What you said to Blights wasn't nice, and your liar suit's Lawson. If I see you in New York, I hope you say something. I'm not Mike from ProThink, I will spray something. You're a fraud, and you can no longer mask that. You can get your bullhorn and your ass cracked. You're the chosen shepherd and deceiver, $1 million patriot to make them all believers. The new world order star wide receiver, or just the ultimate fall guy like Cole Seaver.
Let me bring everybody in. Of course, we have the great Swami Shiva. Namaste again. I guess I got to keep saying that. I'm not sure. It just comes naturally. I just have to say it. I just realized I keep saying it. Sleepy, who's here helping me out greatly. much thanks, Sleepy. Seriously, thank you so much for letting me do this.
No, thank you very much, Nikki, for having me on. And, you know, we all have to help in whatever ways we can, even if it's something as small as trying to just jury-rig something on the fly. I had to do the same thing when I interviewed McTree59er for my YouTube channel. We had to jury-rig something even back then, so this isn't anything different in that sense.
Awesome. Well, hey, I know you have some things you want to talk about. So, hey, I'm going to open up the floor to you. We've got about 20 minutes before the next break. So, man, you have me and Swami here to comment on anything you have to say. So be prepared.
No, that's good. And I appreciate it, Nikki. Awesome. And also, if there happens to be anybody who wants to call in later and discuss these subjects with me, I would really appreciate that because I could really benefit.
The numbers. let me keep the number out real quick. 347-324-3704. Anybody want to talk about anything that Sleepy has to say or anything Swami and I have to say for that matter? You're always welcome to call. We welcome callers and we always welcome input. Again, the number is 347-324-3704. And of course, you can always check out all the other hosts, although it is under construction at the moment, at www.freedomizerradio.com. I almost forgot our website. How could I forget that? Wow. Great Friday. So take it away, Sleepy. Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nikki. I appreciate it. Well, obviously, we've noticed, and it's funny, shit's open up about the awakening and whatnot. You know, it's interesting that folks, when I pay attention to the mainstream media and all of its sundry glory, I guess you could say, is that they basically control the conversation on whatever the subject is. And they use talking points and all that stuff. And I'm just going to kind of talk to the choir here. I'm not really going to be talking to the mainline public. I'm just going to assume the audience kind of knows the basics, left-right paradigm, false flag operations, and all the rest of it. So, but here's something I've noticed is that if you've if you've watched my last documentary I had made, Jamming Culture, Creating Guerrilla Media on YouTube, I mentioned about the parable of the six blind men and the elephant. And basically, as the parable goes, for those of you that don't know what it is that you have six blind men, well, obviously, and they are literally touching or feeling up, if you prefer, the different parts of the elephant. So you have one guy touching the ear, another one touching and thinking it's a fan, another guy touching the trunk thinking it's a rubber hose, you have another guy touching the leg thinking it's a pillar, another one touching the side thinking it's a wall, another one touching the tail and thinking it's a snake, and so on and so forth. The problem is that they all have very different mental projections of what an elephant is, but none of them know what an elephant actually is. So had the blind men actually compared notes, they would have a much more accurate idea of what the elephant is. And, of course, the elephant is representative of objective reality, or so as I understand the parable. Now, the good thing about the alternative media is that they are very good at touching the different sides of the elephant. Let's put it that way. And so you'll hear from various different types of folks and even different types of political dissidents. Like, on one hand, you will have the, constitutionalist patriot, minarchist types, and on the other hand, you'll have other folks of various flavors, more environmental types, or those of an anarchist leaning, or even monarchists, by the way. But the point is that you'll have these different flavors, if you will. And something I've been noticing that's been common in the alternative media, although they've been getting better on some of these subjects, but I've noticed that generally speaking, there are five subjects that the alternative media, not the mainstream, but that the alternative media won't talk about. And so this is what I want to broach, is these five subjects. Now, keep in mind, these five subjects, each one of these does deserve its own broadcast just by itself. So I'm going to try and list them, and then we'll briefly go over each one of them. And then insofar as about whether the alternative media covers them or not. So the first one is internal balkanization, also known more vernacularly as infighting. And I've talked about this before, so let's go on to the next one. Committees of safety. The third one is anything and everything having to do with common law, but this has been mentioned, and in different countries will be known by different types of groups. For example, in Canada and Britain, it will be known as free man on the land. In the United States, the closest kind of equivalent would be like the sovereign citizens, although not exactly. But generally speaking, it has anything to do with common law. The fourth subject is guerrilla warfare, and not, when I say that, not in terms of like the necessity for it or the morality of it or anything like that. I more mean the mechanics. How do you do this thing called guerrilla warfare? The mechanics, the technical aspect, so to speak. And then, and obviously keep in mind, I'm not talking about...
It looks like it hurts. It does. Damn, you got a knot, girl.
Yeah.
For real.
And obviously, I'm not talking about the OPSEC or privacy or sensitive type details. I'm doing the more general stuff. Like, if I talk about a shoot and scoot, Do you even know what I'm saying? Do you know what that means? That kind of stuff, just the basics. And the stuff that is publicly available, but it's not known well. And the fifth subject would be transhumanism. So to recap that list, it is internal balkanization, a.k.a. infighting, committees of safety, common law, guerrilla warfare, and transhumanism. So if anybody would like to kind of go over those, that would be fine. But let's take the first one, and let's do it somewhat briefly because I've gone over this before, is internal balkanization. What I mean by this is that it's one thing if you have different groups of human beings with their different beliefs or just observations or whatever it is, just disagreeing with each other. You know, that's one thing, and that's kind of bad enough. And this would be known as external or quote unquote normal balkanization. And people are kind of familiar with this in terms of between different demographics of people. You know, men against women, whites against blacks, different nationalities against each other, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that rich against poor is another one. That kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I am referring to is within a particular type of within a particular group of some kind that there is squabbling, bickering, that kind of thing. So not to pick on anybody, but I am going to use an example that the audience is going to probably be most familiar with would be like the minarchist constitutional patriot types. Now, do keep in mind my little disclaimers that these aren't the only folks. The other folks, the anarchists and others, there is some level of this too. But the one that is most noticeable would be with the minarchists of this flavor. And, it's usually over stupid stuff. And then it kind of spirals out of control. And next thing you know, it'll either become like cyberbullying or whatever. But the point is that it's prevalent enough that people actually know what you're talking about when you do talk. But the problem is that nobody actually acknowledges it publicly, or if they do, it'll be every once in a while. And even more importantly than that, no one will actually try and troubleshoot or war game any type of possible solutions or methods for solving it or dealing with it or even preventing it. You see, there was actually a video I made a while back. I think it was called, if you look it up on YouTube, I think it's like Sleepy Sauce on Internal Balkanization or something like that. And I kind of broached the subject. And since then, there have been possible solutions that have come up. There's obviously the Committee of Safety - Common Law Court website that you can get off committee.org. That's one possible solution. There have been other ones that have dealt with treating people with due benevolence. You know, treat them as you would like to be treated. And yes, acting with a certain kind of diplomatic flair. You know, if someone, even if the other human being is goading you or is acting in an aberrant manner of some kind, that doesn't mean that, you know, ergo, that doesn't mean that you should act the same way. In fact, at that point, when you do stuff like that, even if you may be feeling it, but if you succumb to that, you're just degrading yourself down to their level. And I know it's hard. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us have done it to one degree or another where even if it's not actual infighting, it comes pretty close. But, you know, the point is that, you know, there are going to be certain folks, and you see, that's the interesting thing, too. A lot of folks who do the infighting, at least one of the parties involved is almost always somebody of a weak, cowardly, or otherwise lack any sort of moral character or moral fiber of any kind. Generally, and sometimes it's both parties, but most of the time it's usually at least one of the parties is somebody who's just cowardly and weak and, you know, whatever other terms, or otherwise not enlightened, if you want to kind of approach it that way, because they, you know, they don't subscribe to either the non-aggression principle or the golden rule or whatever kind of ethical proposition you want to put forward. But, you know, that's what we're dealing with here and whatnot. So if you see like a YouTube comment that says, you know, why are you saying this about this? Or you see a forum posting somewhere, why da 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 da? You know, first of all, you need to be able to master your own emotions, all right? I know it's hard, but you have to. And the reason I say that is because other people, you're going to have other individuals and other human beings, duplicitous and otherwise being one possibility being like weak and cowardly, that kind of thing, or just amoral, who are going to try and goad you. And sometimes it's because they're kind of well-intentioned, but they really don't understand what's going on. Or other times, some people just do it for, you know, shits and giggles. Basically, they think it's fun to kind of bicker. You know, that does exist too. Just keep that in mind. So what you need to do, if you're going to be the moral, upstanding, good freedom fighter type folks, or however you want to think of yourself as, it's important to be able to master your emotions. What I mean by that is if someone's goading you to snipe back at them, you do your best to not do that. And instead, if you are going to say something back or something that kind of that, be the diplomat. I mean, really, that's the simple way. Be the diplomat. You know, be the statesman, if you will. I'm not talking about being a politician. I'm saying being a diplomat, like a statesman. You have that kind of persona of, I don't want to say mild-mannered, but, you know, the monarchist, for example, would call it being regal or being noble. But but regardless of which perspective you want to put on it, we're kind of talking about roughly the same kind of phenomenon where you are a person of upstanding character, of and you have your dignity and your self-respect and all that. If someone else is just bickering with you, you don't have to succumb to their – who says? I mean, who are you to say that I must respond in anger or fear or other negative emotion here to your pity little whatever? I don't – well, first, you can ignore them. Or if you don't want to ignore them, you don't have to be mean to them. You know, another possible option is that you just kind of say as your kind of rule for interacting with people that you don't need to, you know, you don't need to say, how do I say this? You don't need to bicker with them. In fact, you can actually kind of give a disclaimer where you say, look, you know, I'm not going to entertain a debate or more precisely bickering. I think that's a better word is bickering. I'm not going to entertain bickering. We can have a conversation. And yes, if it does turn out that we happen to disagree about something, we can do that respectfully. But I'm not going to bicker with you. I'm not going to – no, I'm better than that. And you should be better too is kind of what is the implied meaning there. So yeah, but regardless of whether your intellectual opponent is going to do that or not, the point is that you yourself, you control your emotions. You control your reactions. And I've had to work on this myself. I've been getting better at it little by little. But the point is there needs to be more people – who are practicing mastering their emotions and otherwise controlling their reactions even while they are swamped in negative stimuli that's caused by other people. You can't control
what people
do, but you control your own reactions.
100% because
that Sleepy?
Is the only
absolutely
safe
love that. I think Swami might be trying to break in, but I was going to tell you, dude, that is beautiful. This whole idea about the negative emotions, this idea that we're swamped and we're stuck in a certain paradigm or our perception is limited to what we're shown. Swami, what do you say about that? Because I thought that comment was absolutely beautiful.
Well, that is just the recognition of the great truth before us all right now. The only safe place to be in the time to come is observing this from a distance, so to speak, as opposed to the way the greatest percentage of humans deal with their lives right now. And it's always been this way. This is always available to people, but now is just a really good time to start doing something in that direction. You know, you have to master the mind or you will suffer unlimited things. You know, you will have pleasure as well, but it's all temporary and it's all going back to suffering. So you need to, by whatever method makes sense to you, obtain this sort of stability, you know. People are going to be losing their minds. I mean, these systems are crashing. This is going to occur. It's not stoppable, and people are going to react very poorly.
Well, yes, and I thank you, Swami, for kind of adding on to that in that sense. Yeah, exactly. But even if you're not, I will say this slightly differently, though. Even if you're not going to detach and you are going to be engaged, even then I'm still saying that you need to be diplomatic. It's the only thing that's ever worked, and I've experimented this myself. I've literally been on both sides of the fence. You know, I have technically bickered with people on some occasions, and other times I did the diplomatic thing. Guess which one worked almost perfectly, like the other way around? Yeah, it's the other one. It's really weird. But it's true, and other folks I've talked to have – I told them, look, try this. If you feel like bigger people, give into that occasionally. And we were experimenting, by the way. I'm not telling the audience to do this necessarily. But, and, you know, and the other times, do the diplomatic thing and see what happens. And guess what? Their results just further supported what I was doing. It was just kind of amazing that way. And I'm pretty certain other people even before me have done this too. But the reason I harped on the internal balkanization thing so much is that – technically, any and all solutions, suggestions for resisting tyranny, possible options for dealing with the establishment, whatever you want to call it, the problem-solving stuff, you could technically have two like major categories and then subcategorize from there. One half of that, the one category, is all the individual stuff you do, the stuff you do by yourself or with your family or something like that, where, you know, whatever it all is, you don't really need other people for necessarily. Then there's the other major category where necessarily you do need other people for. And so the simplest example I use for this is in the first category, all the individual stuff. And when I say individual stuff, what I mean is where you have the option of working with other people, but it's not required. For instance, if you decide to use precious metals like gold or silver as a hedge against inflation, yeah, technically you could work with other people about that, but it's optional. Generally speaking, the people who do that just do that individually. It doesn't require teamwork or anything else like that for the most part. On the other hand,
When you find the break, let me know, because we're at the and I don't mean to like break in and everything. Much love and all. Just saying, it's time for a break, and we got to pay the bills, that kind of stuff.
No problem. One more sentence then. The other category is the stuff where you need to work with other people. For example, there is no such thing, as far as I'm aware of, as a one-man local alternative currency. A local alternative currency necessarily requires other people. Okay, that was it.
Okay, yeah. Well, hey, Swami, you going to stick around for me?
Oh, I guess.
Oh, you're awesome. Much love, Swami, as well. Hey, Sleepy, I so much, again, appreciate what you're doing for me today. I really do. I get to do a show. Woohoo! Thank you, Sleepy. So, hey, Freedomizers, we'll be right back with you. Here's some bills being paid.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
One, two, three.
Join us as we explore the world to come. Jump in Ship with Captain Dan will take you on a trip to a sustainable life in the coming times. Join us as we discover how to build sustainable housing, water reclamation and recycling techniques, growing, preserving, and preparing your own food, and rebuilding not only your lives and your homes, but your communities. That's Jump in Ship with Captain Dan, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Saturday, on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, you freedom-loving freaks. Adjust your tinfoil and join me, the conspiracy theorist, live here at Freedomizer Radio.
Stop your weapon.
Howdy, folks. Buford T. Slaughter here. As part of my continuing rehabilitation, and in conjunction with my anger management coach and my parole officer, I am required to do community service in the form of public service announcements. The TSA needs you. If you're the kind of guy that doesn't mind looking at naked boys and girls as they walk through the naked body scanners, or if you don't mind pulling an 82-year-old grandma out of her wheelchair, beating the heck out of her, make sure she's not carrying any bomb-making equipment, and if you don't mind taking people that object to this kind of treatment, slapping the heck out of them, pull them in the back room, and strip searching them, then the TSA is for you. The TSA is hiring men and women to work at numerous locations around the United States, and the only qualifications are you must have longer than average index fingers, be able to sit and stare at a screen while naked people walk in front of you, and be able to take orders without any questions whatsoever. So, if you're interested in the TSA, please call 1-800-BROWN-SHIRT. 1-800-BROWN-SHIRT. And on a personal note, when the TSA does frisk you as you're going through the airport security, it is an act of love for the U.S. government. It is not an act of rape. So please do not beat them up. Thank you for your time.
The USA is crumbling, y'all sit back and summon it. The masturbation, the home invasions, the CPS is coming to snatch your baby. These confiscations, the conversations, they're operating within the zone of trading. We're in the matrix, now we're totally raided. They infiltrated, finally the devil gave in. If you can't see me, just pump up the volume. Make Donald Bin Laden, Osama Obama, bring up something real, legalize. Everything on a bong hit is as blunt.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction.
Ultra Brigade is in the light, on second thoughts and back to fight. They do is criticize, watch us walk, see this life, Halliburton, FEMA camps, opium, contraband, global warming, oil scams, energy now is on demand, from Tennessee to the Rio Grande, their chip is their jihad, our food is wrong, our air is damn, mercury poison in the plan, they got a sucker bad, believing all the ads, get up and take stand, maybe I'll ask when they call the draft, internal cover-ups, they've been paid to start it shut, some call it brother love, this is just part of the duck. Have you all just had enough? How much more do we have to snuff? This place is in the dust. At quick point, we might combust.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction.
Brave new world outside, survival, bitch or die. Enemies of genocide, they strike us down with lightning rod. They try to play like God, as if it were their job. It's all a false facade, go plug it in your iPod. Secret societies, they put their eye on me, poach me like ivory, invade my privacy. Sun 5, or optic. practically, that's my property. I'll make a mockery, or if I go on a shopping spree, my life is gold imported. I'm not a supporter, they think they are immortal. Stay up at my little fortress, get the forest at my water. Drink enough, it will destroy us, the fact has been recorded. Wake up folks, the new world order.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction. Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking, the main attraction. Make it happen, matter of factly, take the package, get some satisfaction.
Freedomizers, freedomizers, freedomizers. What? Freedomizers, freedomizing freedom on a freedom loving basis. Yeah, something like that. Hey, Sleepy and Swami, you're still with me. And you're with Nikki Nix as we rise above the humanization on a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon. I think it's beautiful because I'm actually online again, or on air. It's been quite a while for me. I've been having to do, of course, nice little rebroadcasts and replays of past attempts due to the fact BTR and Skype haven't liked me in combination with the two. So, hey, thanks to Sleepy, we're here. So speaking of Sleepy, we should continue our conversation here. Again, much love for letting me do this. I thank you greatly for you helping me out here. I really do.
Yes, I know, Nikki. And we all, and by the way, as a to the audience, we all need to help each other, in, even if it's in small ways, just with like stuff with this or in your own local physical communities or whatever. I mean, that's if there's any sort of remedy. You need to start helping people, even if it's in a small way, okay? So just take this as an example. All right, getting to where we were before the break.
Hey, can I say one more thing? I was going to say, because you're always about, like, a man of answers as well. And look what you're doing. You're actually, like, coming up with a way to make it happen. Isn't that beautiful? That's above, among all people I've ever known, Sleepy, you're one that always has answers. I love it. You're one of the very few people that actually step forward and does something as opposed to, hey, it's a little bit too overwhelming. Let's just step back, which is what most people arrive at when they see the overwhelming presence of the New World Order when they first wake up. So, again, you were a man of serious action. I love it. So I can't say that for most other people. So, again, thank you, Sleepy.
And I appreciate you. And I appreciate the sentiment, Nikki. I really do. And, you know, do keep in mind, I may sound like AJ for a second here, because he does more the news and analysis stuff, and most people in alternative media kind of do that. But, frankly, you know, it's been like well over a decade. And, frankly, folks, if you don't know about the negative physiological reactions of vaccines or, like, the normal typical stuff, I hate to call it that, but, you know, it is, then you really should go back to the older stuff and really kind of examine those sources and whatnot. That, you know, I'm more focused on working with the people we've already got. And so that's who I am mainly talking to. Although if the mainline public can follow that, that's great too. But you know, if that's who you tend to be, then you have some catching up to do, suffice it to say. All right. So before the break, and also by one more thing, there need to be more people like me in terms of orientation, where it's less of a news and analysis and more the problem solving stuff, going out into the field and experimenting, see what methods work and don't work. And then depending on empirically, I mean, literally, you need to apply the scientific method to political dissent. You need to apply the scientific method to political dissent, period. That's it. You have to, because you could talk, because I've heard people talk about peaceful parenting and all this other stuff, and it may very well work. But until you've actually empirically tried it and then just say, hey, does it work or not, then do you want to start kind of pontificating about it? But suffice to say, you know, there are so many methods right now that are experimental that may or may not work, but they should at least be tried. Peaceful parenting is one of them, although it does have some good there's some studies that actually suggest that it actually does work. But suffice it to say, let's put it into practice. Let's give it a try. You know, if it doesn't work, well, at least you know it doesn't work. And if it does work, hey, we have one more tool in the toolbox to use against this engine of oppression we're all suffering under. Okay, getting back to the topic right before the break, the reason I mentioned about the example of the individual type solutions vis-a-vis the ones where you need other people or group ones is that, yeah, if you want to use gold as a hedge against inflation, it's an optional to have other people for that, but it's not required. Generally speaking, though, most like survivalists and people like that, and I'm one too, obviously, you don't need other people. You just, go buy the gold and silver and whatever, and just be done with it that way. However, unless somebody's invented a one-man version of it, generally speaking, there is no such thing as a one-man local alternative currency. Okay? It doesn't exist. You actually have to work with other people to establish a local alternative currency. Any greenback or worth their salt will tell you this of any kind. So, it's kind of stuff like that. Or if it's a local community garden or a book club or whatever or anything that's more exciting than that. I'm just kind of listing the more blasé versions of it, which are still important, by the way. But regardless of whether it's kind of, I don't want to say mundane, but more like calm or exciting, regardless of any type of group effort, you need to be able to work with the people that you're working with. You see, that's the problem with internal balkanization is that you have, contrasted with like normal or external balkanization, the really pernicious thing about the internal version is that you are bickering. I mean, when it does happen, you are bickering with other people who are allegedly like-minded. And I say that with the emphasis on allegedly. For example, if you get two constitutionalists in a room or two anarchists, two monarchists, two or three of the same types of like-minded people or who profess to be that, they really should not be bickering about much of anything. I mean, yeah, disagreeing about maybe a couple details, I mean, it's one thing, but there shouldn't be this knockdown, drag out, I'm going to expose you. And I've heard all sorts of horrid stuff, and I don't want to repeat that here. The point is, if you are allegedly like-minded, you guys should love each other, basically. It's really that simple, or at least like each other enough if you are like-minded or allegedly like-minded. Yeah. It just kind of goes without saying. So,
right.
And I kind of want to segue this into the next subject, which is one type of group effort among many, but one type of group effort is committees of safety. Obviously, there's no such thing as a one-man committee of safety. You actually need other people. So, ergo, yeah, you can kind of see where I'm going with that. So what is a committee of safety? And I'll be reading a couple bits from committee.org just to kind of give you the idea and whatnot. But, let's look at the history a little bit. Committees of safety existed prior to 1692 and were called by various names. Generally speaking, the colonists were just – and this is in the late 18th century for those of you that are not historically astute – the colonists were dissatisfied with the government of the crown, headed by Governor Sir Edmund Andros, recognizing that the military or militia authority must always be subordinate to the civil authority. And remember that that's really key here. The militia or military authority must always be subordinate to the civil authority, because obviously if you don't have that, you're basically going to have a military junta, which for those of you who don't know that, ruled by military force. I mean, it's common in very various Latin and South American countries. It's a military junta, very much authoritarian, top-down type of sovereignty. And having serious concern over the abuse of authority imposed by Andros, the militia of New York created their own civil authority in the form of the Committee of Safety. And so basically as, things got very exciting, although during the course of colonial history, many committees of safety were formed and operated under British government, frequently their actions were outside of the authority granted. They frequently coexisted alongside the authorized, quote-unquote, authorized government of the crown, creating a parallel government, which was the direct representation of the people as opposed to the supposedly illegitimate government of the crown. So these parallel, quote-unquote, parallel governments formed a nexus that would come together again in June of, 76, not 1970, that's 1776, composed of representatives of all 13 colonies to form the Second Continental Congress. The outcome of the Second Congress was the Declaration of Independence. And you see, this is the fallacious notion of the supposed Continental Congress gathering that took place back in 2009, was because it was very much a top-down way of doing it. You just had a bunch of people gather across, nationally, to form this group and supposedly do something or practice, statecraft, or I don't know exactly, and it doesn't matter. Because what actually happened originally the first time around in the late 18th century here on the North American continent was you had these smaller groups, these committees of safety, and then they would eventually, as organization got better, people and the colonists started working better with each other and whatnot, they would eventually go build up and up and up, up levels from, you know, really small local, like, neighborhood almost, to, like, county, and then larger and up and up and up, until eventually the end point was the Second Continental Congress. The original Continental Congress, if you want to think of it that way. So it wasn't like the, oh, no, it just mystically came out of thin air. No. This was very much bottom-up, grassroots type of stuff. And so if the same thing were to happen again, it would really be best to kind of follow the formula, even though you don't have to follow it exactly per se. It kind of goes without saying that just a bunch of people back in 2009 just – and even if they're well-meaning like Michael Badnarik and others, it doesn't kind of coalesce. Because remember, one of the fundamental principles of, I guess you could say, the American form of government, which is a very minarchist style, is it's local government's the best. So, and local government's where the focus should be. So again, as you can see, there's a little bit of a disconnect there. But you know, hopefully, with a little bit more time, people will kind of understand what the value is. So let's go to the actual concept itself, the Committee of Safety concept. The concept of committees of safety was the forerunner of that principle of government implemented by the states and the federal government. And then there's more details about how they would elect people and stuff like that to a certain degree. What has to be understood if the concept of committee of safety becomes a tool in our efforts to return to constitutional government is that the authority of the people be recognized above all else. Because remember, the committee of safety is supposed to be kind of like a, I guess you could say, quasi like executive branch type thing and whatnot. But and also remember that to form a committee of safety, all you need is just three good people in your own local area. I believe is the number. I think it's three that you need to form. So there's really not any excuse for not doing this. And so people may ask about, well, why would you want a committee of safety in the first place? Well, the idea is about unity. You know, it's kind of interesting. You hear, you know, folks talk about resistance and this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's definitely some good value in that. The problem, though, is that there's been folks that kind of mentioned about unity, or you'll see on YouTube like Patriots Unite or this kind of stuff, but that's more ephemeral to be nice about it. If you were to seriously do it, there would need to be an actual, not necessarily an organization, but a gathering of sorts, a local type of apparatus for that in a way, and that's what the committees of safety can provide, is a local organization of sorts, or a local type of organizing apparatus where you can actually get your neighbors together and go work on stuff, even if it's something as simple as repairing, a local old lady's fence and paint her house or something like that. You know, this isn't that hard. Now, on the other end, there's also various other things they can do. I mean, if there is ever an issue with supplies or food or something, Committee of Safety can definitely step in and handle that. The other thing too is that if you look at the different self-proclaimed militia groups, the problem is that some of them either don't do enough or do too much at all, or do too much. And see, a lot of the functions that these militia, and I say that nicely, some of the functions they do are really not within their purview. They've had to do it kind of out of necessity. Well, if the committees of safety were around, those extra functions, whether it be intelligence or other supply or whatever else that doesn't really conducive to training what the militia is actually supposed to be doing, then that would free up the militia personnel and time and effort from all those kind of things, and they can focus on, you know, training and you know, what a militia is actually good for. So there's the other kind of aspect, is that the Committee of Safety can alleviate a lot of those extra burdens, or if it's like doing like public relations type stuff, you know, for the militia, but, you know, also vis-a-vis itself as well. There's lots of different things that the Committee of Safety can kind of do. So, for example, if you want, like, bullet point examples, there's a few of them, you know, just a few examples, is that you can conduct political efforts within the community. You can provide – the Committee of Safety can provide educational seminars, meetings, and give out educational stuff. They can do kind of like a community service aspect to it as well, if you want to think of it that way. They can provide – funding, like legal defense funding, for the families of patriots who have been imprisoned by the federal government. Yeah, anybody remember certain individuals that's happened to recently, who shall go unnamed, unless you really want me to go into that. There's all sorts of things that can be done with the Committee of Safety, but before you can actually put one together, you really need to learn what it is.
Well, see, and for that, oh, wow, we'd actually have to look at our past, wouldn't we? We'd have to actually study our own history besides what we're taught in mainstream media or our institutionalized school system. You know, these were things that were existent at the beginning of our so-called government as it exists today. Little things that we tend to ignore when we didn't have, say, interconnected television or, again, the whole mainstream media. I hate having to use that constantly, but that as well. When we didn't have these connecting organisms almost, because they do have their own living essence at this point. So,
well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's also something to consider as well as kind of the mainstream media is really the mouthpiece for the corporate board, if you want to think of it that way, which, of course, works hand in hand with the state, obviously, because that's what corporatism is. It's the melding of state and corporate power. And then, of course, the big joke is that if you look at what a corporation is, it is a legal fiction. It is a creation of the state. So, yeah. And then so basically what you have is basically a state-protected union, okay? That is what a corporation is. It's a state-enforced union. There's the big secret. Well, not the big secret, but it is one big secret. It's a state-enforced union. That's all a corporation is. Every time you incorporate, you get a bunch of human beings together and say, let's go incorporate. You basically go ask the state for permission to incorporate, and they create a legal fiction, a legal person. You know, so if it's like Target Corporation or Walmart Corporation or any of these others, you know, it's just a legal fiction. I mean, it's very similar to, you know, the legal fiction in a lot of ways. It's very similar to the legal fiction that each and every one of us has attributed to ourselves as well, especially vis-a-vis your identity documents, such as your passport, your driver's license, your Selective Service card if you're male, a birth certificate's the big one, Social Security number, all of it. Those are all different proofs of your legal person, which is just a fictional kind of straw man entity that the state uses as the excuse for enacting their statutes upon, or at least this is as my understanding goes. I mean, unless the information I got was wrong. But suffice it to say that, yeah, I mean, see, part of the problem, too, is the Committee of Safety is more – it's more a de jure form. It's not something that's de facto or, oh, it's there. No. You and your fellow human beings in your own local physical areas, and you only need three to start a Committee of Safety. You can then grow from there. You get together and you form this type of group, I guess you could say, and you do that as a way of providing a sort of unity for that area. And when I say local area, I would say preferably not larger than a county. I would say county, at least right now, should be the largest, and preferably smaller than that. It can be as small as your neighborhood if you really want to.
I got to get you in touch with a friend of mine, Michael Ronkin. He's out in California, of all places, but he's been a very major forefront proponent of the idea that representation is what's lacking right now, that the idea that it was originally put in the Constitution that we should have only so many people in the government for the population. And at this point, the number that exists in the government is actually a lot smaller than what is necessary, especially when it comes to state rights, for what was originally proposed to be a legitimate idea. And the idea is that if we had more people in the government that represent, it was supposed to be what, every 600 actually, or 6,000? It's a very low number per representative that was supposed to be in the state legislature. And that number is not even met today. But if you have one person for a small amount of people, say 1,000, even 6,000, if something goes wrong, there's one person that's responsible and can be, at that point, changed from their position. It's something that doesn't exist today. Instead, you have one representative that has way too many people under their – okay, perfect. Thank you. Somebody put it in the chat room. Mr. Marvel, thank you. One representative per 30,000 people. And we don't even have that. You know what I mean? It's insane. So, because here in Dallas alone, we're almost 2 million people. We're like 1.6, 1.7. Well, I actually just moved out of Dallas, but I'm in Tarrant County, which is Fort Worth. It's not that far off, but we don't exactly have that many representatives per 30,000. That doesn't happen. But that's what it was initially put out. So, I mean, what do you say about that? Because that's very much along the terms of where you're going, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, one way to look at it. But I think more important than that is that there isn't really an organizing apparatus that is actually locally, physically in certain areas. I mean, aside from a couple prepper groups, which do have their function, by the way, as well as other types of things like that, most of the stuff that's done is online. And not that there's anything sinful or otherwise wrong about that, but what's important is that most of our efforts need to be focused offline. And I do think committees of safety is one option for doing such a thing. Imagine, for example, if you've ever gone to like it, let me make this concrete for you all. If you ever gone to like a local town city meeting or whatever, like a town hall meeting or a city council meeting or something like that, it's kind of pretty depressing in a lot of ways. You see people saying, hey, please don't encroach on my property. Please don't do these awful things. It's going to harm my property value, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the guy sitting there couldn't care less, or just, you know, or don't, they're not even mentally there or whatever the case is. Well, imagine, if you will, that you had a more du jour type of way of doing it, where you had some of the guys from your local committee of safety, and, you know, the colonists did stuff like this too, where they would go up and say, hey, look, this is how, you know, this is what we're feeling. These are our issues. This is our, you know, redress of grievances and all that. And if you're not going to provide us with that, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, these were actually real human beings who actually said, look, I mean, we're not going to stand for your crud anymore. And we're not going to be bad or evil about it, but here's what we're going to do. You know, for example, the colonists on various occasions, if somebody was going to ship in different items they didn't like of various kinds, they'd say, hey, look, you know, don't ship this stuff here. And if you are, then we're going to ask you to leave and we're not going to pay for that. You know, a lot of stuff that, yeah, you could say arguably would be non-compliance, but in order to do stuff on a larger level, you actually need an organizing apparatus of some kind. And I do think that a committee of safety is one way to go about doing that. So obviously, I'm still learning about it, which is why I can't go into too much detail. But if more people want to learn more about it, I post a link in the chat room, but I'll just say it verbally again for those people just listening. It is committee.org. Just give a site, just peruse the site, give a look over and that kind of thing and whatnot. There's also information there on how to set up your own local committee of safety. Now, I did mention a couple of things related to legal persons and whatnot, just very briefly, and that was kind of the next subject I wanted to get into as well, which is about common law. What I find interesting is that, you know, if you talk about like seeking remedy, or you talk about the legal person, or you talk about the difference between statutes and actual law, or any of these kind of related subjects, I find it interesting that, generally speaking, your average minarchist type won't know what you're talking about. Oh, and just as a side, I just thought of it. Committees of safety are actually kind of a minarchist idea. They are not an anarchist thing or a monarchist idea at all. It's more of a minarchist thing if you want to think of it that way, based on, you know, small representative government, that kind of thing. Sorry, back to common law. The idea – now, if you go back to England – and you kind of observe how things went on there, you had the emergence of what eventually became known as like Anglo-Saxon common law, or just common law for short. And a lot of this is based on, you know, judicial case precedents and a couple other things. Well, obviously, in areas around the world that are of the former British Empire, such as America, Canada, Australia, India, different parts of Africa, and other such locales, because obviously, as we all know, at one point, the sun never set on the British Empire. These are now known as the Commonwealth countries. I think there's probably a few in South America too. But what you have is basically that it's kind of this interesting distinction where it's kind of interesting. You have the human beings. You have to distinguish between what is real and what is fictional. So we kind of go back that the fundamental freedom at all is the freedom from illusion. That's really the best way to put it. So a lot of what you're dealing with that's fictional is kind of derived from what is known as like the Roman civil law, or just civil law for short. But it's basically like what the Romans did, because they did, you know, they were all, a lot of them were legal positivists, meaning that if it's written down, that's what's real or what we claim is real, versus something like the natural law, you know, legal theory, for instance. And you know, that's kind of also another problem too with the constitutionalists. Unfortunately, and the other ones do understand Kamala, so that's good. But the ones that are kind of newer or otherwise don't, there's been kind of a problem where if it's, and here's usually how it's played out. If it's not in the Bill of Rights, I don't have it. You know, if I don't have this, it's not in the Bill of Rights. It's like, whoa, slow down for a second there. the Bill of – I mentioned this earlier about the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. Okay, well, here's where it's important. First of all, why would the Federalists say about, oh, no, the people know their rights, their kind of thing? Well, it's because they all went off common law. It was just common, like privacy and contracting, association, free speech, self-defense, and all this other good stuff. A lot of it has to deal with due process and double jeopardy and a lot of those kind of things. And more. That's the key thing is there's more. These were just the stuff that the anti-federalists got and were just the super, super basic bone stuff type of stuff. And even now the big joke is that whenever there's something unconstitutional happening, this is just basic, super basic stuff. We're not even talking the other things which are also relevant that's also getting violated that the constitutionalists don't get upset about because they don't know about it because they don't know about the history of common law and how that applies to them. As actual human beings, not as legal fictions. So as you see, it's actually a little bit worse than whatever you think it is, but this is kind of the proof. So where am I going with this? Here's what it is. The most important – if you want to start off from kind of a legal positivist slash constitutionalist point of view, the Ninth Amendment is the most important, not the first, not even the second. The Ninth is the most important, and that's the one that says that this – you know, these amendments do not, you know, constrain others retained by the people, meaning through common law. That's what that is. You know, there's more. You know, guys, there's more than this. You know, you have more protections than what's enumerated here. Don't just get stuck into this positivist thing where it's like, oh, wow, they violate the Fourth Amendment. That's no. I mean, there's a certain level of that where it's good, yes, but there's more than that. And that's what I'm kind of saying is that we need to study common law. What did they do back then? I mean, for example, if I talk about a bill of exchange, does anybody know what I'm talking about? What is a bill of exchange? See? Or what are – you know, I could throw out terms all day, but that's not going to be educational. The point is people need to study common law in a big way. You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote a book called – I think it was like The Common Law. If you go to Amazon, type in common law in the book section, you'll find a bunch. Now, I wanted to just kind of say this as a disclaimer. Some of the stuff you will come across is BS. Some of it is. Especially when you get into Uniform Commercial Code or Admiralty or stuff like that. Some of it is real and workable common law remedies that will actually help you. And then there's other stuff that's more – that is admittedly experimental. So it's very much a kind of a fluid thing going on. But the kind of the unfortunate rhetoric I've heard from some constitutionalists is when they say – oh, don't look in the common law stuff. Don't look at UCC or anything like that. Don't even – consider it. I'm not even saying do it. Don't even consider it, but because it's dangerous, because you'll probably do something stupid and get yourself in trouble, you know, legally and whatnot. You know, but of course, ironically, the same people that say that are the same folks that say, oh, you should go protest. You know, which is a method we already know doesn't work.
Yeah, it really doesn't work today unless you're anywhere except the United States. But hey, that's because we're lazy and we're very much stuck on this instant gratification world that we're a part of. I hate to do this to you. You want to make one last comment, and we got to do a quick commercial, and then I'd like to change the direction a little bit. But you know, I love you, Sleepy. This has been great. And thank you again for everything. Stick around and comment and do everything else, and you know, you're always a part of it all. Just saying. Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate the time, Nikki. I really do. Yes, people, please study common law and use your discretion is really the best thing. I mean, maybe acceptor for value works, maybe it doesn't. Who knows? But you at least need to look into it and decide for yourself and look empirically at the evidence and just see if it works or not. That's all I'm saying. And also that there is a wider world than even the Bill of Rights. Good as it is, but there's more than that. And just take a look at common law and see what remedies you can achieve that way.
Very much so. And hey, I really got to get you in touch with Uncle Buck. You really got to go on his show. You really do. But we'll talk about that off air. Hey, everybody, this is Nikki Nix. We got Sleepy Salsa, of course, and Swami Shiva here. We're going to take a quick break and we'll see you when we get back. Hang in there.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Hey, fellow Freedomizers, be sure to tune in to Uncle Buck's Be Powerful program, where you can learn about a variety of topics such as the Uniform Commerce Code and how to become a secured creditor. You can also get helpful advice on organic gardening, exercise, and nutrition, along with an emphasis on remaining positive, keeping focused, and following through on your goals. You can also check out his website at www.bepowerful.ws for further information and helpful insights. You can hear it all right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. And as always, the call-in number is 347-324-3704.
The Disclosure.
Hey, are your ideas for global takeover falling apart? Are you losing sleep over humanity's mass awakening? Is false flag terrorism fizzling out? Global warming gone cold on you? Do you want those global warming deniers to just go away? Are all your phony economic crises being exposed? Is the price of gold defying all your attempts to fix it? Isn't killing the Gulf of Mexico and poisoning millions of people reducing the population fast enough for you? War, famine, and GM food not getting it done either? No? Well, don't give up. Get Disclosure. You'll be able to unite mankind with a phony problem and enslave them with one world government and taxes. Yes, Disclosure, your one-stop shop for full spectrum dominance. But wait, there's more. Sign up for Disclosure today and you'll get problem, reaction, solution absolutely free. That's right, absolutely free. Act now to be entered into our fabulous propaganda prize draw. Disclosure. Our surveys show that 9 out of 10 world leaders prefer it. Disclosure. Cleansing the minds of the unwashed masses with a tantalizing, terrifying, taxable new reality. I'm only going to say this 3 times. Disclosure. Disclosure. Aliens may or may not be real. Your home may be at risk from those possible aliens. No major credit cards accepted because there is only one currency under a one world government. Prepare to die screaming, probably. Disclosure is compatible with Project Bluebeam. Do not employ critical thinking.
robbing me since 1913. You'll run the presses till the ink is dry. Long ago, I stopped asking why. Federal Reserve, I hate every inch of you. You robbed me and you cheated me through and through. Now I'm a poor and more destitute man. Mr. Congressman, why can't you understand? What good do you think you do? Do you think we'll all be richer when you're through? Your dollars are no longer backed by gold, and your stone walls turn my blood a little cold. Federal Reserve, may you rot and burn in hell. May you all fall and may I live to tell. May all the world reject your fake cash. You stole our wealth, but we can take it back. You stole our wealth, but we can take it back. You stole our wealth, but we can take it back.
Today, I will accept myself just as I am. I will reaffirm that I am a beautiful person just as I am. Today, I will accept myself just as I am. I will reaffirm that I am a wonderful person just as I am. Today, I will accept myself just as I am. I will love myself just as I am. Today I will say to the infinite divine being, the mystery that we call God, thank you, God, for making me just as I am. Knowing this, I will see the world just as it is. I will accept the world just as it is. And in the clarity of that awareness, I will feel peace, harmony, laughter, and love. Today I will trust the unknown. The known is the prison of the past. Today I will relinquish the known. Today I will step into the unknown, and in every moment I will lay my trust in the field of infinite possibilities. By trusting the unknown, I will find creativity, imagination, inspiration, intuition, insight, and conscious choice making. Today I will step into the unknown. Today, I will relinquish the known. I will realize that the known is the prison of my past conditioning. By stepping into the unknown in every moment, I will enter the field of infinite possibilities. Today, I will trust the unknown and enter the field of infinite possibilities.
Gradations of reality. One could say the clock, the lines of latitude and longitude, are, and words and things like that, abstractions, have a rather flimsy kind of reality. Next in order will come, of course, what we call ordinarily the physical world. We say, well, that's material. that matters. And so it has a little harder kind of reality. And most people stop there and they think there's nothing at a deeper level than that. And that's simply because of the limitations of man's of consciousness, of his conscious attention. Conscious attention is so worked out that it tends to ignore all constants. In other words, when you move from the Middle West and come and live in California, at first when you get here you think, oh, this is a fantastic place, see? It is so beautiful and so lush and so on. And you stay here after a while, and in a few years you start taking the place for granted because it's a constant stimulation of consciousness. Also, for example, when you're listening to recorded music, there is always a kind of electronic hum, but we screen that out and ignore it, and so it becomes unconscious. Well, so in a similar way, there is what you might call a continuum, a something or other, in which all physical phenomena exist. And you ignore it unless in some way or other you can make it hum. And so various practices like performing yoga exercises or Zen meditations or certain kinds of chemicals can cause your entire sensorium to hum. And this draws your attention to the ground, the background of everything that you're perceiving, which you ordinarily ignore. I think there is going around an entirely new religion called hum. And hum has no organization, no hierarchy, no doctrines, only music and ritual. And just hum. If anybody asks what's it all about, they say, well, come and see. Come and hear. Come and hum. That would be kind of nice to have something like that. I don't know whether it exists or not, but it ought to. But at any rate, the continuum in which everything occurs is, of course, basically what you are. Only because we get absorbed in details, we forget all about it. Deep down, far, far within yourself, you know very well indeed that you are that. And that what we call consciousness and unconsciousness, coming and going, life and death, are changing modalities within this whatever it is we are. And your identities come and go, your forms, your bodies, your this, your that, it's all oscillating like everything oscillates. It wouldn't hum if it didn't. And so though we are, each one of us, all this cosmos and all this universe, its ground, we don't know it. Because we can't make it an item of knowledge, a particular. And we think the only kind of knowledge there is knowledge of particulars. A logical positivist will argue this to the death. And say, well, because your thing that is common to all makes no difference. It's true. In a mathematical equation, you cancel out as irrelevant terms that are equivalent on both sides of the equation. You remove them as redundant. But you know, these things aren't redundant. While it's as perfectly true that a statement about the ground of being is from the standpoint of formal logic quite meaningless, it makes an enormous difference to the way a person actually feels and behaves, whether he's aware of the ground of being or not. The ground of being isn't a logical proposition. It enters into human life as an extremely vivid experience. And the difference between a person who sees that and a person who doesn't is quite startling. They behave differently. It may not be the way you want them to behave, but it's sure different. And so it's like being in love. It's quite unreasonable to be in love. But when you're in love, you're entirely changed and you behave differently, even though you may be crazy. So, certain crazy things like being in love or like being aware of the ground of being are immense factors in human life. Even though from the standpoint of academic philosophy and the kind of a scientismic, kind of phony science, they shouldn't be matters of scholarly attention. Nevertheless, they're tremendously important. So within this enormous so-called void, call it void not because it's nothing in the literal sense, but because you can't pin it down. But you can experience it. And when you do experience it, you wonder why the devil you didn't see it all along. Because it was so obvious. Nothing is more obvious than this. So within that void, you see, we set up these two great circles, the time circle and the space circle. And we notch them all the way around, and we use these concepts, which are really in our heads, as constants by which we regulate all sorts of events. Now then, when you lose sight of the conventionality of these things, because you are absorbed in details and have become unconscious of the totality, you begin to invest emotions in them. You may, for example, go to a game of some kind, football, basketball, or to chess, you know, and you watch the game. And you know it's only a game. At least that was what you understood when you went in. But as it progresses and you become more absorbed in the back and forth of the game, your emotions begin to be affected. And you start cheering for one side or getting want to take the part of the underdog or something of this kind. And that's what happened to us when we were born. We got into a gaming room. And it was only a game, but we begin to take it all terribly seriously. And each one of us is given a part in the game. And people tell us who we are. Well, from babyhood up, they say, this is the way you are. It's not like you to do a thing like that, you see? It's your mother says to you. Because she establishes an identity for you. And this identity is something you have to make, because you've got to amount to something. You've got to be someone. I mean, as if, of course, in the beginning, I suppose, really, we are nobody. But that simply means nobody.
Pessimistic.
All right. So, Freedomizers, Nikki Nix back with you. Hey, I want to bring in Swami and see what he has to say about, like, the Alan Watts clip. I know my aunt's in the chat room. I know she loves Alan Watts, too. But, hey, Swami, what do you have to say?
I like the way he expressed it. That's one of the things that, you know, he and I are sort of engaged in the same effort to westernize that which is very ancient and well understood from India. It's in its truest spoken representation, it is called Sanatana Dharma, the eternal way. It's always worked this way. It has always produced divine human beings. That is the function of the path. That is the adventure into individuality through this limitation of a body and a human mind. Yes, that that is going on, but you're not limited to that. I see the real deal, and it's right there behind your eyes winking at me. And it can come out any time that you will step out of the way.
It's all shit. Yeah, I can tell.
It's kind of beautiful because that's exactly what the name of that clip was, The Ground of Being. Basically realizing that everything you see around you is nothing but an extension of yourself. I mean, it's such a simple thought, yet beyond profound and far-reaching for most that will ever even conceive of the idea. But once you reach this point, how can you see it as anything else? It's all but you.
You can't.
It's the same question.
After you see David Copperfield's truck from backstage, how do you feel about it when you look at it from the audience?
Right.
Same thing, just different.
It's like once you see what's in the background, once you see what's truly there, what it truly is, it has nothing to. The biggest thing is this idea, like I stated at the beginning of the show before Sleepy was here, this idea, and again, when I had no sound and probably no one understood what I was saying in the first place, but this idea that the vibration of the earth has been changing, that it has sped up, that the world around us is changing, and that those that I guess have at least the slightest inkling to feel it, have noticed. And there has been a serious change. And it's people like thank you, Swami, of course, that are here to help people once they see this change or this difference. I don't want to say necessarily like guidance so much as what you would see a preacher in a church, an ordained church. But so much that guidance in if you have questions, not so much you have to follow this particular path, but hey, what we're doing has been written about long before we were alive, right?
If there is an older scriptural document on the planet than the Vedas and that which just first codified in written form, that which had been passed down orally for a very long time. If there's something older than that which comes out of India, I don't know what it would be. And like I said, that just when the writing began then, you know, that sort of thing, because it was all done orally before that. We weren't as restricted psychologically, functionally, as we are now. Things could be relayed orally and people just understood. It was different.
It's something simple, like the whole idea that a lot of the ancient texts are actually all related. When you look at the same stories, and this is one thing where I have, I guess, an appreciation for your past as well, is you're not exactly limited to just the Indian culture. You've been through a lot more before then.
No. All the flavors at Baskin-Robbins are just ice cream.
Yeah.
I like ice cream. And anybody can have any kind they want. Help yourself. Do the one you like. It's still going to take you right back to the same source. It's just some take longer than others, and you know they all play out proper for those involved. But for those who are just really tired and would like to see the divine in everything and live in that way, experience that directly, I think it's a good idea. It's been a pretty good timing to do it.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Swami, because when people do kind of examine, you know, themselves internally and stuff like that, a lot of that will help to form a better, like, moral character, moral fiber of just about any kind, if you will. Absolutely, and more people need to be doing stuff like that. I mean, sometimes, yeah, some of it's BS, but a good portion of this kind of stuff, like learning how to meditate, for example, and you know, all that other stuff and whatnot, is definitely useful. And people, at the very least, should look into it more, because if you can, for lack of a better term, if you can center yourself or ground yourself, especially when there's this horrible, if you are encountering, like, your own personal life or whatever, all this horrible stimuli, that way you can still function and still act in a calm manner. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, guys, learn how to do yoga or whatever. I mean, you know, you'll learn how to stretch a little bit better and whatnot, and, yeah, you'll also get some other benefits as well, absolutely.
It can happen. It's just a choice. You know, you just didn't realize you had as many choices as you actually have. You don't experience this today, but you will one day, and it is the truth whether you're experiencing it at the moment or not. You are the source of all possibility, period.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, and that's all based on, you know, volitional consciousness, free will, or the ability to choose, and that kind of thing. Absolutely. It's just, you know, there's this false notion we get from the Madison Avenue propagandists, which is the mouthpiece of the corporate board, that, you know, this notion supposedly we're powerless, we can't do. It's like, no. First off, human beings of various stripes, of various different supposed levels of power, and I say supposed very loosely here, can actually enact, you know, action, reaction through time space. For example, you know, people like to mention about we're losing our freedoms. This is the typical rhetoric you hear. Well, it depends. How do you define freedom? If you define freedom as the pragmatic ability to, for skills and talents and that kind of thing, as well as the volitional consciousness, the free will to choose to use those abilities, then you have all the freedom you have. I mean, the state could also not exist and you'd still have freedom, or the state could exist with all of its horrible statues, you still have freedom. If you have the freedom to pace around your apartment and walk back and forth because, you know, your legs are working and the electrical signals from your brain are stimulating your leg muscles, and you choose to pace your apartment, you have, even if there is a statute saying that you are not allowed to pace your apartment between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., and you do it anyway, guess what? You still have the freedom to do that, strictly speaking. Because all you're doing is committing action, motion, in reality. Exactly. So there very much needs to be a paradigm shift where people are thinking more in a freedom way. Obviously, I'm totally on board with that, man.
The subtle has to become a much more prevalent part of reality. It exists. It's just more subtle. This is where you start getting into these things that may appear miraculous to those who just don't understand how it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, also notice that people, especially the mainline public, but also people who are some types of political dissidents too, will get kind of, and this is what I mentioned earlier about, like, the quasi-legal positivist view of some constitutionalists when they look at the Bill of Rights and say, oh, if it's not there, I don't have a right or whatever. Think more broadly than that. It's, don't think in terms of, like, the Matrix was a great allegory for this. Don't think in terms of rules and constraints and that type of thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. There is a time and a place for, you know, terms and conditions and contracts and that kind of thing, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, generally speaking, philosophically in your life, in the big picture, don't think of your existence on this plane of reality, whatever you want to call it, as being constrained by arbitrary rules and constraints and stuff like that. Think of it more as a realm of possibility. Again, it's all in terms of perspective. How do you view it? And it's something as simple as – yeah, exactly. I mean, this isn't hard. I mean,
your perception is your reality. Flavor it any way you choose by the thoughts that you hold. And it can all be changed at any time. Direct and conscious knowledge and experience can occur that will – shift the way you think and the way you perceive things. And that's what happens. It's occurring at an increased rate right now. And it's great to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just a quick example, just so that people can kind of relate to this. There have been people I've noticed that, you know, won't go out in their neighborhoods, like, and even in, like, suburbs where there's, like, you know, nice lighting, sidewalks and stuff like that, but they won't go out walking at night because they're afraid something might happen, an animal or a mugger, and it's, like, the safest possible places around. And you see, this is the big kind of joke, is that I've, gone out for nightly runs and stuff like that through places that didn't have sidewalks and, you know, it didn't necessarily have lighting, but nothing bad happened to me. Because I knew how to...
Hey, guys, we missed the break again. And, I'm going to take the break because I absolutely have to. And I'm going to play another quick clip because I love positivity. And Friday is a great day for positivity. So, you know, if anybody has a problem with it, they can absolutely bite my butt. But that's what I bite my butt.
Welcome back.
Oh, it's been a beautiful Friday. I love it. I'm here, and if anybody has any problems, like I said before, you can bite my butt or you can leave. Or you could do both. Hey, it's all good with me. Big joke. So, we're going to take some, advertisers' money here and freedomizers. We will return in just a few minutes. So, hang in there with us.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Hey, fellow freedomizers, be sure to tune in to Uncle Buck's Be Powerful program, where you can learn about a variety of topics such as the Uniform Commerce Code and how to become a secured creditor. You can also get helpful advice on organic gardening, exercise, and nutrition, along with an emphasis on remaining positive, keeping focused, and following through on your goals. You can also check out his website at www.bepowerful.ws for further information and helpful insights. You can hear it all right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. And as always, the call-in number is 347-324-3704.
On May 21st, 2011, at 1:27 p.m. Eastern Time, billions of people suddenly vanished. Witnesses report hearing a loud trumpet, followed by a blinding flash of light, and the sudden disappearance of men, women, and children everywhere. Christian homes, suddenly empty, are now providing free clothing, furniture, and appliances to be donated to the poor. The dramatic decrease in motor vehicles on the road is reducing the demand for fossil fuels, driving gas prices down to $1.93 a gallon. TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, is now CSBN. Prison populations have virtually disappeared. recycled Bibles are now being used to make juice and milk containers for school children. Former religious institutions are now being used for exploration, health, science, and recreation, including facilities for laser tag, the world's largest Jupiter jump, and the worldwide distribution of Darwin Genuine Draft. Our planet now has more money, more food, more space, more resources, more education, and more common sense than ever experienced in recorded history. There is a sense of joy, of jubilation, of freedom. The world unites in celebration in the wake of... Hello?
Hi, is this News 1550?
Yes.
Hey, the Christians are all still here.
Really? All of them?
Yeah, nothing happened. They're all still here.
Shit.
Thank you.
a beautiful, beautiful song, isn't it? How could you get over episode? Hey, and at least that's the censored version. I actually, for a while, had the uncensored version up there. I got to say hi to everybody that's in the chat room. I really, really do. I haven't done it all day. So let me at least say hi to my aunt, my uncle, my Aunt Margaret, my Uncle Rick. Absolutely love you guys. P1C, I see. Okay, there's Mike. I don't know who you are, but hi anyways. Sleepy, of course. Great Sleepy, who's helping me out here. So much love, always. The greatest Swami Shiva, which is with us as well, as soon as I can unmute his mic. So namaste, and I'm always, always grateful when you join me. And then we got Warple. Namaste, and Great Warple, which I know drives some people crazy, and but we all love him, you know. It's Warple.
He is
you know
the
that.
Best at being Warple I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I love him for that. nobody's quite like Warple.
Boy,
yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Well, hey, Swami, I was seeing like a lot of comments during hi, Warble. I was seeing a lot of comments during the commercials. But I don't know. Do you wanna take off from there, or should we go over a different subject at this point?
I'm sorry. Remind me where we were at. I've mentally reset.
Yeah, well, okay.
Freedom of the mind, I guess. I guess was pretty much where you were kind of going from.
It happens to me sometimes. You know.
Oh, it has to do with the sound. I love this. Your comment exactly was things are changing. Doesn't matter what sound we make in reference. I absolutely loved that comment.
And that's just in reference to any word that can come out of your mouth. You're not controlling it in any way, shape, or form. You're along for the ride, and it's happening, and that's just all there is to it. So do what you got to do, you know?
And the vibration idea of it, the whole the vibration, everything is a vibration. Energy, anything we go through is a vibration of existence. And the whole idea of sound, which in essence is vibration. That's what makes vibration in and of itself. This whole, the heartbeat, the sound we hear from space, what we hear from each other, there is never complete silence. There is always this wave, this sound, this vibration that is everywhere.
That is both internal and external. There's two different systems. There's two different systems. One is the more subtle. And there are, I guarantee you, there are things to be heard that are not going on outside of your noggin. Well, they are in a sense. But regardless, it's not in response to external stimuli. There is light within you, quite naturally. There is sound taking place, quite naturally. It's only your awareness of it that is lacking, that's all. And, you know, a lot of people are highly, highly invested in keeping you from knowing this stuff. Because once you get that, you just go, what? You're doing what? No way. Stop it. That's enough. And things start changing. Period.
It is. And people don't seem to realize the amount of effort, seriously, put forth by a lot of people in existence today to keep the majority of the population from knowing the ability to hear this sound, this vibration that exists, that is so simple as well. It is there no matter what they try to do, but they are very good at this sleight of hand, at this distraction method that we have all become accustomed to. We see it
it's
in mainstream media.
It's worked for a long time.
Yeah, it really has. But it's well, to me, it has become so simple. But then again, I haven't had TV in over like 2-3 years now. And I see a lot more even now since I've spoken with you, Swami. But that's another story in and of itself. I mean, we could probably do a whole show just on that, you know? But the simple
perhaps
thing
one
is,
of these days.
Yeah, perhaps we really should. The thing is that when you see something simple outside, and it doesn't require you having someone like Swami, like which I do now, which I'm very, very grateful for. The thing is that a lot of these things that we can see, we can come to on our own. And when these things happen, it definitely changes your vibration, and therefore you attract certain people to you that are necessary for your path to go forward. And it's a very natural, common occurrence that has happened since the beginning of mankind. And I don't know how else to explain it other than it's just beautiful. But this is the way things have always been. You find someone that teaches you, and Nickel, that's a name I haven't seen in forever, sorry. Nickel Anadime, I was almost named that, but that's another story. I'm Nicole Annette, and it was supposed to be Nickel Anadime, blah, 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 my father. Anyways, going on, hence my brother being Ian Chance, Even Chance, yeah. there are little things that you notice that happens naturally to everyone that we tend to blow off, basically, like, oh, it's just like a figment of my imagination, like that really didn't happen. I seriously didn't have an effect on the world around me, because see, that's not possible. That's what we're taught when we're growing up, that we don't have abilities, that we can't actually affect the world around us. No. If we had that ability, wow, then maybe the mainstream media and the controlled institutionalized systems that we all participate in when introduced to the school system or other systems, say, and I hate to use this, but dogmatic religions as well, because I know a lot of our listeners probably don't like hearing that, and I apologize in the first place. But the thing is that's exactly where it leads to. It shows you that there are controlling factors that keep you limited to one mindset. I used to have a bumper sticker on the back of my car. I used to love this bumper sticker. It was kind of like a silhouette image. It was red silhouette on a blue-black background with red writing, I can speak correctly. But it had the image of like a bust, right? Basically with blindfolds on and like a bandana, and you can see the tie behind the head so that it looked like it was blinded. And the whole statement was religion stops the thinking mind. And it was the idea that when you get stuck into one particular dogmatic system, such as what our government is, once you're existing beyond the rules that are set by someone else, then you are limited to that mindset. You can't exist past it, or you're considered a bad person. And that's not the case when it comes to reality and the world, and especially our spiritual advancement, which is where we are lacking currently. We are not lacking in technological advancement. We are not lacking... No, right? We are not lacking in communication at this point. We are not lacking in the idea that we have cross-globe commerce. We are not lacking in a lot of things except for spiritual advancement, something that comes from the idea of what makes human consciousness, something most people don't even ponder because they are stuck in the paradigm of the dogmatic and the governmental restrictions on ideas. And that is
and
one thing that
distracted.
I'm...
distracted.
Yes, distracted.
If they can keep you distracted, that's all it takes. You'll never know. You'll never even think about it. Or if you do, it's only, you know, oh, help me God, when something really bad is happening. Now all of a sudden you want to be religious. To say
and you have
ass.
No consent.
But
they want you to
when
believe you
everything's
have no consent.
Groovy, you know?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, this is how charlatans throughout history have worked. I mean, they always assume some air of authority, whether it be religious, political, or otherwise. And they then tout this supposed authority as actually something that exists. And, of course, here's the big joke, you know, when you bring it back to common law, is that we are all human beings. We are all creatures of the land, and we live on that land. And that's first and foremost. And everything else after that is tertiary at best. Whenever you have these people that are, no, literally, whenever these people that say, I'm a police officer, I'm a bureaucrat, I'm a judge, I'm a whatever it all is, what they are doing is that they are still human beings, but when they are acting in that role, they are role-playing, yeah, all this theater terminology, but anyway, when they are role-playing, they are using a tool. That is it. So the guys in blue costumes with the tin badges on them, yes, they do carry lethal weapons that can hurt you and all that, but the moral narrative or the moral justification, which is the bigger issue more so than anything legally, is a tool at most. At most, that's what it is. But they are human beings first and foremost. So that's why a lot of methods about dealing with the police really try and deal with them with the fact that they are human beings first and foremost. So if you give them a certain level of respect, not because they are the guys in blue costumes with the tin badges, but because they are human beings, the same respect that you would give to, you know, the clerk at the grocery store, the bank teller, the, you know, person on the street, the old lady, the young fellow, whatever it all is, it's that same level of dignity and respect that you would give. I mean, that's really all that's going on there. But unfortunately, some people let it go to their heads, especially when they get these notions of power, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of where the whole thing kind of starts falling apart. Although something I did want to mention real briefly, if you don't mind, is on the issue of consent. Because I think we would all agree that consent is kind of really important for whatever it is you're doing things voluntarily, not being coerced or forced into something. Well, if you go to Black's Law Dictionary, and people should have a copy of Black's Law Dictionary, by the way, that's kind of important, or at least have access to one if you can't buy it for whatever reason. Technically, a society, legally speaking, is a number of people joined by mutual consent to deliberate, determine, and act for a common goal. Society is a number of people joined by mutual consent to deliberate, determine, and act for a common goal. And then what I mentioned earlier about there's a difference between statute and law, here's what a statute is. A statute is a legislated rule of a society given the force of law. A legislated rule of society given the force of law. So here's the big question. What society are you a member of? Honestly, I mean, you always hear in propaganda or, you know, either establishment or counter-propaganda about, you know, the American society or our society or the society or terms like that. Well, legally speaking, a society has to be something pretty specific, and the American society doesn't really cut it. Technically, you would have to be more of like a group, like the American Cancer Society is an actual society, for instance. So, but again, back to the basic question, what society are you a member of? And go back to that definition, number of people joined by mutual consent. Consent, did you consent to be an American? Honestly, I mean, that's really kind of the big question. And then, of course, you tie that in with what we were also told about, how we have this government that is by the consent of the governed. Well, quite honestly, did you consent to the state we have?
It's very much so. How many people actually vote anymore? How many people actually realize the amount of people that are our representatives, like we talked about before the last break? But hey, I break in for that simple reason. Guess what? It's a half hour. We got one less to go. but I got to take one more break. Sleepy, thank you again. Sorry to break into you. I really do.
No, it's awesome.
And Swami, you gonna hang in too?
I believe so.
You're awesome.
I
as
will
well.
Tell.
I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Hey everybody, we'll be right back with you shortly. let's play some ads and freedomizers. Keep on freedomizing freedom.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Join us as we explore the world to come. Jump in Ship with Captain Dan will take you on a trip to a sustainable life in the coming times. Join us as we discover how to build sustainable housing, water reclamation and recycling techniques, growing, preserving, and preparing your own food, and rebuilding not only your lives and your homes, but your communities. That's Jump in Ship with Captain Dan, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Saturday on Freedomizer Radio.
Track and trace and make us second-class citizens. They are going to decide what sites you visit, and they're only going to allow a couple thousand sites. 99% of the web will be off-limits.
Doubter.
When I was a small boy, I used to haunt that section of London around the British Museum. And one day I came across a shop which had a notice over the window which said philosophical instruments. Even as a boy, I knew something about philosophy, but I couldn't imagine what philosophical instruments could be. So I went up to the window, and there displayed were chronometers, slide rules, scales, and all kinds of what we would now call scientific instruments, because science used to be called natural philosophy. Because, as Aristotle says, the beginning of philosophy is wonder. Philosophy is man's expression of curiosity about everything, his attempt to make sense of the world primarily through his intellect. That is to say, his faculty for thinking. And thinking, of course, is a word used in many ways and is a very vague word for most people. But I use the word thinking in a very precise way. By thinking, as distinct from feeling or emoting or sensing, I mean the manipulation of symbols, whether they be words, whether they be numbers, or whether they be other such signs as, say, triangles, squares, circles, astrological signs, or whatever. These are symbols. Sometimes a symbol is a little bit less abstract than that, as when you get a mythological symbol, like a dragon. But all these things are symbols, and the manipulation of symbols to represent events going on in the real world is what I call thinking. Thinking is a linear process, like writing. One thought after another. As we say, you can only think of one thing at a time. But that's too slow for understanding anything at all. Much too slow. And our sensory input is much more than any kind of one thing at a time. And we respond with a certain aspect of our minds to the total sensory input that's coming in. Only we are not consciously aware of it. But nevertheless, you're doing it. But what kind of you is this? Certainly isn't John Doe. Isn't that little ego freak? And so if I ask you, who are you really? And you say, well, I'm John Doe. Oh, you think so? John Doe, tell me, how do you happen to have blue eyes? Well, says, I don't know. I didn't make my eyes. Oh, you didn't? Who else? Well, I have no idea how it's done. You have to have an idea how it's done to be able to do it. After all, you can open and close your hand perfectly easily. And you say, I know how to open my hand. I know how to close my hand because I can do it. But how do you do it? I don't know. I'm not a physiologist. Well, the physiologist says he knows how he does it, but he can't do it any better than you can. So you're opening and closing your hand, aren't you? You don't know how you do it. Maybe you're bluing your eyes, too. You don't know how you do it. Because when you say, I don't know how I do it, all you are saying is, I do know how to do it, but I can't put it into words. I cannot, in other words, translate the activity called opening and closing my hand into an exact system of symbols. Into thinking. That's all. And actually, to translate the opening and closing of your hand into an exact system of symbols would take forever. Because trying to understand the world purely by thinking about it is as clumsy a process as trying to drink the Pacific Ocean out of a pint beer mug. You can only take it one mug at a time. And so in thinking about things, you can only think one thought at a time, one after another in series. So there's something a lot more to you than you think there is. And that's why the Hindu would say that the real you is the self, capital S, the self of the universe. Because at that level of one's existence, one is not really separate from everything else that's going on.
Well, that's the end of that clip. Very beautiful one, but a Swami? You have a comment on that one? You have a comment?
I second the expression.
And that's beautiful. You want to expand and maybe explain a little bit of that, especially the idea that you don't become separate from the self. I absolutely love that.
No, you never have been separate. There is no separation. It's the appearance of separation within consciousness. But you were prior to consciousness even. So from when you reach that understanding, and, you know, at many places along the way to that, you just, things are different. You see things differently. You interact with things differently. Your awareness expands to include things you couldn't have even thought of before. And things take place in subtle ways that are just as real as anything you're looking at. And they present themselves to you. Because you don't know what you're looking for, really. People think that, oh, if I could just create my life any way I want, no, you would be so limited in that. You don't really even know what it is you need, actually. So that would be more of a curse, essentially.
It's like going outside each day and looking up and thinking, this is nothing.
Lots of people do that.
Most people actually walk outside. They don't even look up for the most part. They look at their phones. Usually texting
right.
to the car.
Right.
Yeah. And disconnected the whole time with windows rolled up so that they don't experience the outside world in the slightest because, oh, we can't do that. And they go to wherever they go, and then they go from one concealed environment. They walk less than 5 minutes, maybe two, if you're lucky, to the next concealed, controlled environment. And we wonder why everybody's getting sick, you know? Nobody has any experience with the world outside of them. And what's even worse is most people don't seem to realize that that's who they are as well. That is a part of who we are, is this outside world. And everything you see is still who you are. And when you deny that...
And it doesn't
that,
have to be the way it is right now.
No.
Well, yeah. Actually, if, you know, I'm not exactly, as some people would say, like a tree hugger or anything like that, but what I would say is that if people really want to get away from those distractions, like how you just described, Nikki, just do what the Boy Scouts do, man. Go camping. You know, take a weekend. Or if you're more inclined, if you can do it, you know, just take a week off and just go camping. You know, pretty much, you know, don't answer the cell phone or anything like that. I know for some people it'll be hard, but, you know, go camping, you know. And the nice thing about such activities like that is that it removes automatically those distractions of various kinds because you are physically moving yourself out of, quote-unquote, civilization or, you know, what passes for it, since there's a sense of thin veneer anyway. And, you know, you just do that. And, you know, and do some positive things, too, when you're out there, you know. Study some of the flora and fauna, you know, practice some of your outdoor skills. Yeah.
Hey, can I stop you there? Study. Actually go outside, and people don't seem to realize, because we hear study, and it automatically, like, turns us off, you know what I mean? We hear study, and we think of, like, books and everything else. But something as simple as going outside and looking at the world around you is a means of study. It truly is. And it's something so simple that most people overlook. You can go outside and just look at the trees and look at the sky. And that means you're actually studying the world around you. That means you're actually participating and looking at what is a part of you. And I think it's something not only do we overlook, but we take for granted, even past that. Because we walk out and we automatically assume that it's always going to be what it should be. We hear everybody complaining, oh, it's too hot. It's the hottest year ever.
Oh,
how many
yeah.
times have you heard that year after year after year? Is it the worst that it's ever been? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and you know what? I appreciate air conditioning and stuff like that, but I also know I can live outside and can make it. As long as I've got a few pieces of equipment, I can pretty much make a go of it and whatnot. You see, there's very much kind of a disconnect there. But, yeah, I mean, you don't even know – but yeah, for certain folks, you don't even need to go out in, like, a wilderness setting or something like that. If you go and you just look around at, like, the achievements of mankind, go look at a skyscraper, go to a museum, go to just get out.
Anything that – gives you inspiration is
yeah.
good for
yeah.
you.
That is so
whatever,
true, man.
Whatever triggers that, go do lots of it.
Yes.
And
whatever makes you who you are.
I mean, Nikki is talking about something that works for her, but it's not going to work for Sleepy.
Yeah.
You know? He's not even nope. going to engage in it. But Sleepy has that which inspires him as well. And there's no difference in inspiration. This is
right.
the point. This is where our best stuff comes from, is when we are in a state of inspiration. So by whatever way you can have that, have it.
Yeah, it's very much a smorgasbord of stuff to do. And, you know, folks, if you want to try something different, leave your phone at home and go for a walk and just see how you feel. And if you can do that and not feel jittery after a while, if you've done enough, try this one on for size.
Hey, Sleepy, let's bring in Phil Platt.
Awesome.
Clearly. It's been a long time since I talked to Phil. So, hey, Phil.
Hey. Hey, Nikki.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, Sleepy. Hey, Swami.
Namaste.
Yeah.
Well, good to have you aboard. Do you have a particular comment, or you just want to join in?
Well, I just wondering if Swami had any ideas on monetary reform, how to end the Fed.
I'm watching all this occur, and I cannot, I don't know enough personally on the subject of what to do step by step. I only know that it's going to work. What is happening now cannot continue. And something better will grow up from the ashes of the collapse of their system.
Well, who's going to come up with that system that comes up from the ashes?
It won't be this Swami. I don't know. God bless you if you can. There are plenty of people with all kinds of economics knowledge that, you know, can bandy about any number of options that are far better than what we're in right now. And I didn't care if it became a tribal sort of thing where, you know, it's just a whole lot of people in loose groups interacting, you know, whatever. It's much more natural for the human organism than what we're doing now.
And hey, Phil, I'm with Swami on that. Because trust me, I'd be there in a heartbeat in my little community and doing what's necessary. That's where I would feel at peace myself. But I will tell you this, my idea is the idea that, like, people like you, Phil, because I know you have great economic experience and knowledge, which much respect there. I'm just saying, I think we have the people here today that have the knowledge and experience and aptitude to be able to create a new society beyond the one we have now. We have the experience from what we've existed to this point in these, couple hundred years with the United States. We could actually take what we've done to this point and move further. We could either take it as an outline, or we could completely get rid of it. But the thing is that most people are scared. You know, we fear changing what we have here and now. But what I think, and this is completely my opinion, but I think we have the people here today that are intelligent enough that could actually create a system that would be better than the one we have now. But we fear that because we don't want to let go of what we have because we see what exists across the globe. And so we're scared to start over. And there's this fear. And this fear is the thing we need to let go of because we have the intelligence, we have the know-how, and we have the experience to draw from at this point with the way the United States has been to this point. And I don't think we should probably take the last 50 years into account. Maybe we should leave those out. But that, again, is my opinion. Although we could at least learn from that, you know, instead of just completely throwing it away. But I don't think we should use the structure that's been in existence to that point. But we have the knowledge, we have the people, and I think we could create a better society now. We don't have to be the Republic of the United States, although I think that would be a way to go again. We could at least use that as a basis, but I think we need to look somewhere completely different. I think we need to realize that someone like you is intelligent enough to lead the people to step forward and maybe create something new. What do you think, Phil?
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, and there's definitely a fear of you know, a system where people actually could keep what they earn, and there's a lot less inequity between earners, and people are more prosperous in general. People think of that. People that talk like that as a communist or a Marxist, you know, and generally,
yep.
That's the Marxist vision, is a society with less inequality, inequity. But the reality is, if this was actually a capitalist system, there would be a lot less inequity. If this was actually a free market.
Right, because it's not, right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, right now, as far as methods go, Phil, I mean, it's really much the, as far as I'm aware of, it's really the gold bug and greenbacker, you know, either use precious metals as a hedge against inflation or you create your own local alternative currency. But aside from that, I'm not aware of much of anything. What are you aware of?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Oh, I mean, you asked about, like,
how do you fix
possible...
it, Phil? How do you fix it, Phil? It's your job. Make it happen. You do.
There you go. I mean, seriously, Phil, you actually have more answers than most people here. You're more, you have a more intelligent background than most people I will speak to when it comes to the economic background of society. I mean, you have a serious passion there, and most people don't. So if we're going to move forward, then I think you may be the person that would be there to lead forward. But you have to have faith in yourself. That's something that maybe a little lacking. You keep seeking support, but Phil, you're pardon the language, you're the shit. So you should realize that.
Yeah, actually, Nikki, yeah. If you could have Phil on like a later broadcast and just kind of dedicate an entire broadcast to him, I think that would help matters a lot, because, you know, I've talked to him privately and whatnot, and there's a lot going on there. In fact, I was very surprised by some things that I won't repeat here, but I was very, very surprised at how controlled opposition can actually be. And so Phil is definitely, if you can get him on, that'd be great.
Well, Phil's always around. Phil's a great appreciator, freedomizer. I've always seen him around. So, hey, guys, we're actually about, like, we got less than 3 minutes. Phil, you want to say hi to everybody real quick? Because... you don't get around as much as you used to, but good to see you. You want to say hi and goodbye?
Yeah. Hi to everybody. And, you know, I'll try to tune in more often to this show. And, we'll work this out.
Cool. Well, Phil, just so you know, I'm on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So 3 hours on Friday and then 90 minutes Monday and Wednesday at this time. So always the same. I love everybody who's joined us. Sleepy, you want to say hi to everybody and goodbye to everybody before I let Swami do the same?
Yes, hello everybody, yes. And goodbye everybody. And by the way, those top five subjects the alternative media doesn't talk about, each one of those needs its own broadcast dedicated to each one of those subject matters, because there's a lot more to go into. But I appreciate you having me on, Nikki.
And Sleepy, still, thank you, because you let me do a show. I haven't been able to do so in a very long time, so thank you for being here. I have to say, much respect and much love, Sleepy. Swami, namaste. I'm so, so happy you're here for me today. You want to say hi to everybody and goodbye as well?
Hi, bye. Have a good day. Remember, there's much more inside you than you understand at this moment, and it can get way better. It's a choice. It really is. You have more choices than you're aware of at the moment.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hey, I'm going to leave everybody with the beginning of my show, which we'll have about a minute of it. It's still a great message, but hey, you've got Joanne Reddy, the Liberty Underground, coming up. So have a great Friday, everybody. Talk to you soon.
He's not me. Yes, I am. I'm much taller. No, you're not. You're fatter, though. No, I'm not. We're the same. We're not the same at all. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are.
I'm greater than, lesser than, and equal to the universe. You know, I'm greater than it because I can contain it in my mind, and lesser than it because that's obvious, schmuck. And I'm equal to it because I'm of the same atoms it is. And I always say that what that does for me is connect me to everything.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.